Genesis 2 verses 19 to 25. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they became one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. God gives life through mothers, and we've just heard about Eve, who was the first.
Good morning. This time we're going to hear from another mother in the Bible. It's Hannah, as we hear her pray a heartfelt prayer to God. So let's open up 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who are hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest.
Thanks, Rachel. Well, as I said earlier, great to have you here with us on this Mother's Day, and particularly looking with you at the Bible. That's what I meant to say. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another new Sunday, for the way you bring us together. And Father, we ask you to help us now to reflect deeply on your words, and that you might impress their meaning deeply within us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's the second week this week in our series in this Old Testament book of Samuel, of 1 Samuel. And this particular section, quite appropriate, isn't it, being Mother's Day. We're looking at this prayer that was prayed by a mother called Hannah, and we met Hannah first last week. Now, Mother's Day, as I've already said, it's a day that we're able to celebrate and to thank God for the gift of life through mothers, and can be a day, of course, of mixed emotions. But for all of us, it is an opportunity to thank God for the gift of life through mums, no matter what circumstances we might find ourselves in. And God uses mothers to give this extraordinary gift of life, of course, and that's something to be very thankful for. I don't know if you've ever stopped to really think about that, but the life that God gives, it truly is a miracle. You know, I remember the birth of our first child, Erin, and my wife saw the miracle of life very clearly. Now, my mind was probably elsewhere because I had witnessed the birth. And I saw what Bron had gone through, which seemed torturous. And I remember going home after, and I was talking to my dad who was there and saying, well, my first thing actually I said to him was, I never, ever want Bron to ever go through that, ever, ever again. Because I felt partly responsible. But we did have more children. We did, because those lives, they're a wonderful miracle. They're a wonderful miracle. Right at conception, the entire human genetic code exists at conception. By 3 weeks, blood cell production starts. 4 weeks, the heart beats regularly, the brain, the eyes, ears, arms, legs, they're all developing. And at about 9 months, they just pop out. Although, it's not as easy as that sounds, is it, as I had come to realize. But regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the state of our relationships with our mums, mums are amazing. God gives life through them. And they go through so much to sustain it, to deliver it, to nurture those lives. And so I think they know how much of a miracle life is in a way that us blokes probably just can't. I was talking with Bron about the birth of our first child, our daughter Erin, and she said her first thought when she saw Erin was, how can you not believe in God? See, she saw the miracle of new life, and she knew that it was proof God's real. And see, if you know that, changes everything. You see the world differently if you know that. And that's exactly what we have in this part of 1 Samuel that Rachel just read so well for us. Here is a mother called Hannah. She has longed for a child. If you remember chapter 1 last week, year after year she has no child and she prays to the Lord. And in chapter 1 from verse 10 it said this, in her deep anguish Hannah prayed to the Lord weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And God did give her a son. It's a miracle. And she takes him up to the temple to serve the Lord. And she gives him up just after he's weaned. Now, do you find that surprising that she's able to follow through on her vow, like especially at that time? Because she's just weaned her son. That's a bit hard to know, but I did a bit of reading on this, and maybe he's maximum 4 years old. I could not give up any of my children at any age, let alone four. No, but I'm not the one who sacrificed either, like my wife did, to bring them into the world. So how is it that Hannah can go through with this? And why does she pray this prayer where she's rejoicing at a time like that? They're the questions. And to answer them, we're going to have to look much more closely at this prayer of Hannah's. We need to try and see the world through this mother's eyes. See, right at the beginning, and if you have your leaflets there or your Bibles, it'd be great to have that part of Scripture open. We'll be looking at that together. Right at the beginning, Hannah shows what she believes in the first two verses. Have a look at verse 2. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. She knows, doesn't she? Absolutely, God is real. But more than that, she knows God. She knows what he's like. And her heart, it means her innermost being, it rejoices in the Lord. And it's even more than that, her strength and her glory, it's lifted high by the Lord. you know, like the horn of an animal, like a ram or a bull of something. It gives it a sense of strength and glory. That's what it means there in verse 1 when it says Hannah's horn is lifted high. She loves the Lord so deeply. And who wouldn't, knowing the Lord the way Hannah knows him? He is entirely morally righteous. He is honourable and ethical. There's no one holy like God. And he's delivered Hannah from her distress. But actually, there's much more to it than that. These words point to a much greater deliverance for God's people. And Hannah has a sense of that. Hannah has a sense of this much greater deliverance that God has in store. I was reading an article recently. It's about a guy, this guy here on the screen. His name's John Harper. He was on the Titanic when it sank. And he was offered a lifeboat, he was offered a seat on a lifeboat next to his sister and his niece who he'd been travelling with, and he refused, gave the seat up for someone else. He had a life jacket, and he gave that up to another man, and this man survived because of the life jacket that John had given him. But John Harper died when the ship went down. Now there is an honourable man, right? Ethical, absolutely. Like, you can't hear that story and not feel a deep, deep respect for a man like that, right? And if you were there, if you saw him give up that life jacket, or maybe even if you were the one who got that life jacket, you couldn't help but love him, could you? But compared to God, even a man like John Harper, and I mean no disrespect to such a brave man, but even a man like John Harper pales in comparison. John Harper was a good man, but he's not perfect. And God is. God is pure and he is perfect, and Hannah knows it. She loves him. She truly sees the Lord. There's no one more holy. There's no one who's a rock like God, no one who protects and delivers like he does. If you read your Old Testament part of the Bible, he has done that throughout history. He protected, saved his people out of Egypt during the Exodus. He raised leaders up to steer his people back onto the right path over and over again. He has delivered his people again and again. And he will fully and finally deliver them. And these words of Hannah's, they point us to that. See, Hannah knows something of this about the Lord, and she delights in him. That's what it says in verse 1. Her whole being is just given over to him in joy because of what Hannah knows is true about God. Can you see this trust that Hannah has and how it just shines through these first two chapters? You know, her life was not what she wanted it to be. Previously, at least, it was not what she wanted it to be. She wouldn't have understood why. But she sees God so clearly and she trusts. And that affects the way she sees the entire world. It affects the way she sees her circumstances. And so perhaps here the question for us to ask ourselves is that how we see God? Do we see God that way? Because if it is, it changes everything. Our view of the world, how we handle the tough times, how we behave, even how we choose what we do with our life. Now, you might be here this morning and you haven't thought much about God before. But if you think back to the birth of a child and the creation of life, if you look at that and you realize God must be real, even that realization changes the way that you view the world. It must. And realizing the truth the way Hannah does, well, that changes everything. See, she knows God quite clearly. She sees the world through that lens. And actually, the view through her eyes, it's described from verse 3. So come to verse 3 with me. When you know God like Hannah does, there's no room for arrogant pride. Nothing for us to be full of ourselves about, because God knows everything and he weighs it all up. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know our own failings, don't we? The times that we think the things that we shouldn't, say the things that we shouldn't, do the things that aren't loving, or don't do, or don't say the things that we should. If we're honest, it's actually very humbling to think that God is very, very well aware of those things. And actually, he weighs it all up. You know, if we could record everything that we do, say, and everything we ever think, would you ever play that recording in public? Would you stick it on Facebook or Snaptagram or whatever it is that gets used? Snapchat, isn't it? I actually don't know how that works. But would you post it on public, on the web or on social media? You wouldn't, would you? I certainly wouldn't. It would be horrendous. God knows it, just like it's been recorded. And compared to the pure and the holy God, we fall far short. We have no reason for arrogant boasting at all, and it is humbling, actually, to realize that. But it is good for us that we do, because humility is needed to know God like Hannah does. Did you notice that in her prayer? The warriors are broken, but those who stumble are armed with strength. Those who were full, they hire themselves out for food, but the hungry, they're hungry no more. See, it's the humble who know God like Hannah knows God. To know and see God the way Hannah does is to see that the world is his. Like, he set the world on its foundations, it says there in verse 8. He created all of this. All of this he created. It makes it his. He has authority over it all. He brings down the strong and raises up the weak. He makes the rich poor and the poor rich. He raises the needy. He brings death and he gives life. It's all in his control. He has the power to give and to take, to reverse fortunes and life circumstances as he sees that he must. Now that might sound confronting. And actually, in an age and in our society that's so individualistic, prides itself on independence, it may even sound offensive. But remember what else Hannah knows back in verse 2. There's no one more holy. There is no rock like our God. So actually, to know this truth about God is very comforting. It's very comforting because we might not understand the things of life that sometimes we have to endure. But what Hannah's prayer here shows us is that through all of it, holy God is in control. Now, I can't speak for others, but I find that very comforting. I find it very comforting, and I'll tell you why, because there are only two possibilities to our existence. Either there is nothing in control, in which case this is all just random chance. And so whatever happens at any point in our life is just some random fluke of circumstances, in which case it's all meaningless. Or someone is in control, in which case, what would I want that someone to be like? Well, if someone's in control over the entire universe, I want that to be someone who is more holy than anyone else. Someone ethical, reliable, righteous. Someone who is flawless and sets that standard. See, on the Titanic, John Harper, what a wonderful man. He obviously cared far more for other people than he cared for himself. He sacrificed himself for complete strangers. He was amazing. But to be in control over the entirety of the universe, to be across everything that happens everywhere, well, I'd want that person to be someone far greater than even a man like John Harper, far greater than anyone human. I'd want that person to be perfect. And that is what God is. And Hannah knows it. It's humbling. But it's also comforting. That God is like that, and he has our circumstances in his hands. See, Hannah sees all of this, and she sees more. He created it. It belongs to him. And what that means is that nothing actually is ours, not really. It's all God's. So whatever we have has been given to us by him. See, Hannah knew that. She knew it very well. She prayed and she prayed and asked God for a child. He gave her one. And as I said before, honestly, I couldn't give up any of my children. But here we see the strength of Hannah's faith in the fact that she did. She knew that the Lord had given her Samuel and she gave him back to the Lord. Shows her trust, her absolute trust, doesn't it? She knew the character of God, holy, full of goodness, completely dependable, completely in control. I am sure giving her child over to him that way must have been painful, but at no point would she have feared for him. So if you know God like Hannah, you know that whatever the circumstances, he will work through all things ultimately only for your good. As she said in verse 9, he will guard the feet of his faithful servants. And in verse 10, it is not by strength that one prevails. So if you see the world the way Hannah does, you know that the strong are those who are in the Lord, that only in him will anyone prevail. And to see the world that way, to see your circumstances that way, changes everything. We have this privileged position in history, you know, to just see exactly how true that is. You know, no doubt Hannah here, she speaks without fully knowing all the details of what would happen through the years and the centuries that would come. But she says in verse 10, God will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Or we could say, exalt the power of his anointed. It's exactly what God did. And he did it through Hannah's son, Samuel. Took major steps in his plan to bring a full and final deliverance to his people. We'll see it in these coming weeks. Samuel will grow up. He'll become a leader amongst God's people. Eventually, he'll anoint King David over them. And he'll begin a monarchy that would finally be completed about 1,000 years later, when another mother called Mary would also give up her son, this time to die, her son Jesus. Jesus, as we saw in our video and as we will hear read shortly, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who inherited the title of king from King David's line and who is God the Son. See, he would turn the state of affairs of the world upside down. And he would do it through his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. Through faith, he'd deliver us finally back to God through the forgiveness of sin. Have a look at verses 9 and 10 there with me. Hannah said, he will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. See, all that becomes so clear through Jesus. If you look at life that comes through mothers and see that it must be from God, then like Hannah knew, you're saying God is real. And all of this, this world is his creation and it belongs to him. So when we go on and live like it isn't, ignoring him, that's what's called sin. It's opposing God and opposing his good intentions for us. That's what sin is. And for there to be justice, there must be a consequence for that. God must judge that, as it says in verse 10. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. And if he knows everything about us, that's pretty intimidating. And yet it doesn't need to be. And it doesn't need to be frightening because ultimately God took that judgment on himself through the death of Jesus, who was born of Mary and is God the Son. Trusting him and what he did brings forgiveness for sin. And it means just as Jesus was resurrected from the dead, so through faith will we. And remember that Jesus ascended to be with the Father 40 days after his resurrection. Easter wasn't that long ago, was it? We celebrated his resurrection. 40 days from there was Thursday, just gone by, Ascension Day. Just as Jesus was resurrected and ascended to be with the Father, so we will be brought back to him because of the trust that we have in the forgiveness that he provides. As it says in verse 9, he will guard the feet of his faithful servants. Now, Hannah couldn't have known all the details of God's plan to save the way we know them, but she knew who God is, holy, dependable. She trusted him completely to bring about his good plan for his people. She had a humble trust in his sovereign power to bring everything to its right conclusion. She trusted that. And because she did, she saw the world differently. She gave her son into the service of the Lord that she trusted. And we are so thankful that she did. It was this grand step forward in God's salvation plan towards Jesus. So this Mother's Day, when we think about the life that we were given through our mothers and realize it could only have come from the one who was so powerful, he can create life itself, do we see the world differently? Does it humble us to know the holy God? Does it free us to know he gives all that we have? So we don't take pride in what we are or what we have, or grieve what we're not or what we don't have. Instead, just comforted and thankful, resting in the fact that he loves so much, he dealt with my sin through his own son. And so I am freely able to express thankfulness and honor to the holy God with what he's freely given me. These are Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the opportunity that we have on this Mother's Day. It's to see the world through a mother's eyes. It's to rest in what God has done in his son, our king. Humble, content, thankful. He does indeed guard the feet of his faithful servants. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gift of life through mothers. And we pray that in Jesus we would rejoice in the life you give us through faith, that we might leave our cares and anxieties with you, knowing truly there is no one holy like you, that there is no one beside you, that there is no rock like you, our God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.